All right, so this is going to be a gear change, but I have the privilege of doing the vision spot, and we do this every year. And in particular, Pete, who's doing our masterclass, he actually asked me to do this. I was going to do it later in the day, but he said, put it at the start because people need to see where their ministry fits into the bigger picture. So this is why I'm doing it. And I've got a bunch of things to say. So this is our vision. This is our dream. This is our prayer that we'd see thousands of Christians gathering in the inner city. Not thousands of people gathering at the pub to live a hedonistic lifestyle, but gathering who are passionate about sharing Jesus with others, serving others with joy, not just out of a sense of duty, but Christians loving to serve others and growing in the knowledge and love of Jesus. That's what we want to see, isn't it? Yes. I want some response today. Yes. Where's Shella? Shella, I want you to do a bit of, teach us how to respond. Okay, thank you, Shella. All right, this is all right, this is our mission. So that's what we want to see. This is our mission. It's to connect 1,000 people. That's the number we keep pushing towards. It's big, it's audacious. It's not going to happen in our own efforts. It's going to be a work of God if it does happen. We want to see 1,000 people connected to life, love, and freedom found in Jesus. Or in other words, we want to make and grow disciples of Jesus. The top thing is just a sexy way of saying the bottom thing, which is churches are on about making disciples, people who know the love of Jesus, know the freedom which comes from obeying Jesus, and the life which comes from trusting Him, the freedom from sin, from guilt, from shame, from judgment, and brought into the family of God. That's what a disciple is. So if you want the short, simple, we make disciples. That's what we're on about. If you want the sexy way of putting that, we connect people to the life, love, and freedom Jesus offers. So that's our mission. That's what we're on about. What does disciple making look like? How do you go about making a disciple? Well, making disciples comes in two sides. There's you need to get disciples. That is, you call people to repent and trust in Jesus. And then the other side is once they're made, they've got to grow as a disciple of Jesus. That's why Ben's talk is so helpful. Is you're a Christian, yeah, but we need to be seeking continually after God, that we might follow God. So there's the two kind of objectives that our church is after. We want to make new disciples, and then once the disciple is made, we want to grow disciples. That's why Leaders Rally is so important, because part of your discipleship, now that you've been a Christian for, I mean, I look at Tracy, being a Christian, and Michelle, being a Christian for just a couple of years, but then I look at a Tim, who I assume you grew up in a Christian home, Tim, being a Christian for a long time. What does your growth look like? Well, your growth looks like serving like Jesus, and you need to constantly be challenged to put others first, put Jesus' kingdom first. So part of the reason we want you to serve is for your own sake, actually, because your spiritual life will be stunted. You know, great. So we've got to, you know my care and concern for the lost, for making disciples, but I have just as much care and concern to grow you as well. And so that's where we're at. What does that look like? What's the pathway as you go from getting to growing? What does that look like? Well, sorry, I need to change the colors here, but here is a contact, right? Oh, what did I do there? All right, so here's a, it's not working. All right, so there's a contact. There are people, we need to make contact with people in our world, and that happens both in informal and formal ways. So the informal ways are you in your workplace, you have informal relationships with people in our city, and that's very important. So as we go out to make disciples, your relationships that you find yourself in is very important. But then in formal ways, our church needs to get in contact with our community in more formal ways. What's that look like? That looks like getting involved in the Surrey Hills Festival, Made with Love, things like that. So that's making contact. The second step is to gospel people, both individually and corporately. So the corporate way we do that is church on Sundays. Anyone can come along and hear about Jesus, and they will be gospel. They'll hear the gospel taught there, particularly at Christmas, Easter, and our other evangelistic nights. They're the kind of corporate ways. The other corporate ways, we run Christianity Explored, which is together. We get people together, and I gospel them. And we've got an amazing group, actually. Right now, we've got 6 people going through, it's awesome. I could tell you about it, but I won't. And then there's individual ways. So it's not just me that's gospeling from the front and in small groups. You need to be equipped to sit down, read the Bible with people, and that you'd be praying for them, you'd be explaining who Jesus is. So there's individual and corporately. And then we want to see people converted, that they make a decision to start following Jesus. And when they do that, they transfer from the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. And then they're established in the faith. And that's a really important step for us. And we've been stretching out our time. We do Christianity Explored, but now we're doing another at least 14 weeks with people. James, where are you, James? James did it earlier this year with us. A longer period of time in which we're trying to explain the basics of the Christian life and trying to help them be established. Tracy and Michelle didn't. Maybe you had. Did you do basic? Oh, you did. Did you, Michelle? Oh, you did. Okay, we did an all right job for you. Maybe not. Tracy's going, no, you didn't do enough work. But anyway, but establishing, that's a really important, and what I've seen over the history of our church is we haven't actually invested enough in that, the establishing, and we've seen people make a decision to start following Jesus, and then they've rebounded and they've drifted and got lost because we haven't done the hard work of establishing. And Simi and I, we're about to write a paper on what does it look like for your community groups to receive someone who's just become a Christian. Because you guys, often you forget about that and you just keep acting in your community group the way you've always acted. But you need to be attentive. Here's a person that doesn't have the same kind of knowledge as you have about the Bible. You need to slow down, explain things more. You need to be conscious of the issues that you're hitting and maybe not hitting some of the issues that you would normally hit because you're aware of where they're at. So there's establishing the faith. And then what does it mean to grow as a disciple? Well, they're established in church. That is, on Sundays, they're under the preach word, gathered together to sing praises to God and hear from Him. And then throughout the week, they're established in the relationships of the church in our community groups. They're matured in word and prayer at services, preaching of the word of God and our prayer. And then throughout the week, by themselves and in small groups, they're studying the word of God with others and on their own, and they're praying. And that's how they grow. They're serving, so we need to recruit people, and then we need to train people. And training's what we're on about today. And then we need to send people back out on mission. And that mission, again, is both personal, them with their little groups that they find themselves in, and then corporately as they get involved in the work of Vine Church, or even broader than that. So Brian is here and he's sent to Sydney University. He's on mission there in a more corporate way. So that's the pathway of making a disciple. But there are two things in church life that don't fit on the pathway, and that is our Sunday, well, that is magnifying Jesus. So where does, you know, this is what Ben just shared for us, that the life of the Christian is a life lived for the glory and honor of Jesus because we love Him. And that's, it's not a step, is it? Oh, I'm going to start, you know, what? How do we program that moment? You can't program that moment, can you? But we do want, we want this. So that's something we're also trying to achieve. And then the other one is genuine community. The pathway, they're really events and they're moments and they're things you can train for and identify, whereas these other two things, genuine community and magnifying Jesus with others, they're more the air we breathe. And we're on about that. Now, as you know, well, as some of you know, we structure how we do this using the 5 M's, which are mission, that we're on about gospeling, we're getting disciples, establishing them in the faith, seeing them converted. We're on about magnification, that is living for the praise, glory, and honor of Jesus, which focuses kind of on our Sunday event where we hear God's word and we sing out praises, but it's more than that. It's this magnifying Jesus with others. It's the air we breathe. There's membership, which is our communal life, that we care for one another, that there's a sense of belonging, that we take care of each other and we're cared for, that we're connected. There's maturity, that is that we're growing in the word and prayer. We're not stagnant in our Christian lives. We're becoming more like Jesus. And we're doing ministry. We're serving with our gifts for the sake of Jesus and his kingdom and the good of others. So we structure our church along those purposes so that we would achieve this disciple-making process. Does that make sense? All right, so another way of looking at it is this, and this is kind of the more, this is kind of my memory hook for thinking about it, that as Christians, what a healthy Christian looks like. So if we've succeeded for Anna Schraft, she will be looking up. She'll be magnifying God with her whole life. She'll be living for his glory and honor because she loves him. She will be digging deep in the word, and as a result, she'll be growing as a Christian. She'll be reaching out with the good news to her friends and family, and she'll be participating in the things we do as a church, which is making Jesus known. She'll be giving back, is that the one? She'll be ministering to people. She'll be using her gifts, time, and talents and treasures to serve others and build Jesus' kingdom. And she'll be doing that not as a lonely, isolated little Christian. She'll be doing that, drawing together with other Christians and experiencing what it means to be a member of Jesus' body. So if we're successful, that's what our hope is for you, that you'd be looking up, digging deep, reaching out, giving back, and drawing together. And my experience is the churches I've been a part of before is they've been really good at one or a couple of those, and it's my hope that we'd be a healthy church producing healthy, well-balanced Christians in each of these areas. Does anyone have a question at that point on either of these two slides? No. All right. So here's a, you can't read that, but I've printed it in your booklet and you can't really read that either. So, but what you'll see is as of, this ain't working, sorry. What you can see is we do structure ourselves against our purpose areas. So here's magnification, I think that's maturity, membership, ministry, and mission. And then ministry support supports all these other things. And we do these things through our different focuses, so 10 a.m., 4:30 p.m., kids and youth. And then the parish council sits off to the side, supporting and ensuring this thing is healthy and right.
It's an old-fashioned laser, mate.
Oh, cool. A laser. There we go. So you can look at that. I've just put that in just for the sake of clarity, that you know where things are at and what's happening. Actually, I might just go back a step. One of the things I want you to do is just notice on this, where does the ministry that you're involved in fit on the disciple-making process? What comes before you and what comes after you? And here's the thing, how is it that you can help what's coming before you arrive at where you're at? And how can you help the person when they're with you move to the next stage? Does that make sense? So if you are a foodies, where would the foodies fit on the disciple making process? What, how does a foodie connect to our process of where would it fit on this diagram?
Membership.
Say again?
Membership.
Membership, but maybe step up into a pathway or the non-pathway activity. Established in church and genuine community, right? So that's the job of the foodies. It's to help people feel established and welcomed and connected, right? So what I want is, what would be helpful if you're a foodie, what comes before you? Well, before you is people are becoming Christians. So what are they feeling? They're feeling really uncertain. They're scared. So you ought to be thinking, okay, this is the kind of person that I want to land in my little area. I want them feeling established and connected here. So you ought to be always thinking, where is this? Where is the person coming from that's going to land in my area? And where am I sending them to? So you're establishing them so that they'd end up starting to mature. Does that make sense? So if you're a community group leader, where do you guys sit? Maturity, but up onto the pathway, where do you fit? You're trying to mature people in word and prayer, right? That's your job in the context of genuine community. But your job's to mature them in word and prayer. Where are they coming from? They've just established in church, okay? And your group's going to be part of that experience. So you need to be thinking, how do I keep them established? And then your job is mature them, grow them in the word and prayer as we do that together. And then where are you hoping they will get to after you? Your goal is to get them out there serving and on mission. So whatever ministry you're at, in order to kind of have a sense of purpose in your ministry area, you need to know where are people coming from that are landing in your ministry. And then where are they ending up? And then if you're in the admin team or you're on parish council, your job is to enable that to happen. So that's where you get your sense of purpose. If your job is to be doing the books for our church, the accounts, sometimes you can lose a sense of purpose in that. But the purpose of that is to actually enable this stuff to be happening. You're seeing lives transformed because of the work you're doing. So that's a little piece. Okay. Now, this is the last thing I'm going to do, but it's going to take a little while, is what's our focus for the next year? And I've got three focuses for the next year. Here they are. And I want you to hear this, and then we'll have a chance to engage after lunch more on this. But this is what our priorities for the next kind of 18 months are. We want to build a flexible, functional, attractive space that makes us more effective at connecting with and being a community. Secondly, we want to reach and grow a community of university students. And then thirdly, we want to develop and support leaders and teams so they're more effective in making and growing disciples. So these are our three focuses, priorities for the next 18 months. Why? Here's a little image of the work our architects have been doing. As you know, where we're at the moment is our church is these three disconnected buildings, old, run down, in my view, embarrassing. I'm embarrassed. I assume you are. The toilets in our church, they're filthy, embarrassing. I'm so ashamed of them. The presence of our church from the street, it's hidden. People are like, I didn't even know there was a church there. I've been going past there to the Sydney Football Stadium for years and years, and it's just invisible at night. The sense of arrival, you walk in this weird little door and you end up right in the middle of the church. We are a church which loves community. We love being a community. We love being open-minded, but our buildings and our spaces don't speak to our actual culture. So we've been working hard on our building program, and this is where we've landed. And I just want to show you a couple of things, and I've put the images up here for you to come and look at and for you to give me some feedback. We're moving towards a DA hopefully next month, and these are still in draft phase, so they're not locked in stone, and I'd love your feedback. But these are some of the things we're wanting to do. The first thing is we're opening up this area here as a plaza entrance to the church. So right now you enter via this kind of little entrance here, and you kind of come in here and then in through here. There's very little sense of arrival and connection with the street. And so what we're trying to do is from the house to the church, open up this kind of plaza style entrance that would you just walk up and you'd feel like you've arrived. It's a very public space, very visible space. If you're thinking in summer when we do afternoon tea outside for afternoon church, that's what we're going for in this kind of space. Let me show you some images. So this is a streetscape from Hutchinson Street. You kind of see that you kind of walk up there. There'll be two entrances. We're building a foyer to the hall for hall users to kind of come in, and then we walk up here. This is the main entrance. And rather than kind of going down that dicky little path, turning a corner and trying to walk into the house to the office, which is weird, where we're creating a staircase here that would arrive into the reception area there, so that our arrival, even at the office, is more public, visible, inviting. But it's this main entrance that connects to the church, which we're looking at. There's another. This frangipani, which my kids love to play on and climb over, which is in this area here. We're moving it forward, and they're calling it the welcome tree. And we're going to build a seat around that to try and slow the exit of people. That it's just community happens in the unplanned moments. And you're on the way out and you're talking, and you're like, let's just sit and continue this conversation. So there's some things we're trying to do. The next thing is we're building this foyer here that would actually connect each of our buildings to one another and then to the backyard. It's a space that in wet weather and in cold weather that you'd be able to sit in it in the shade or in warmth. It's a place for Christianity Explored to meet throughout the week, for meetings to meet, community groups to meet. It's very transparent, very visible. It's kind of part of the garden. And then here are some of the images. So you come in from this direction through these doors and then into this foyer space. That's it looking out from the backyard. We'd usually come out of the door here, out to here, and this foyer wraps the buildings around. Here's an image of the backyard, and another one, and another one. So trying to retain as much space in the backyard as possible, because that's our asset. But the backyard's only an asset when there's good weather, and we're trying to, how do we use that and experience the sun and the greenery even when the weather's bad, and even at night. So there's that. Alrighty, what's next? The kitchen. So in our opinion, the kitchen really is at the heart of a home, and church is our home, and therefore the kitchen has to be at the heart of our home. And rather than having three kitchens, 1, 2, and 3, we're having one kitchen that's right in the center of the site that's able to service everywhere. It's a massive kitchen. We're getting rid of that wall in the house kitchen. It's going to be opened up here and here and here. So it's a little bit like a house. It's an open plan kitchen. And here's some images, kind of looking from where the playground is back to the church over here. And there's the kitchen kind of serving out this way, an island bench, if that makes sense. And that's kind of coming out from the kitchen and into the backyard. Alrighty, what's this? The hall. So hall's a major problem, and our toilets were and are a major problem. And so we're redoing the toilets and putting them in this corner, 4 new toilets each individual. And the other problem with the hall is once you're in it, and it doesn't connect with the backyard at all. To get to the backyard, you've got to walk through that weird, filthy thing, and you turn a corner, you turn another corner, and finally you walk out this little door. And that's crazy. So we want this hall to be able to be used for lots of different purposes, even events like this, right? So we can't run a Leaders Day at our church. It's just a terrible space for it. But if you to do that in the hall, and then this is one big glass wall that kind of flows into the backyard, which creates kind of light and airiness and transparency. And that's that. And what's this? The playground. This is just a little thing, but we're building this kind of smaller kids, younger kids playground in this area. You can kind of see it here. And here, that's a streetscape from Flinders Street. All right, and then stage 2, if we ever get the money, is to build another hall above the hall. staircase up to it, and this is it, so that we'd have two halls, you know, that we could do two different age youth groups at the same time, midweek, or that kind of thing. But it's looking like that will be a stage two experience. That's stage one, and then that's stage two with the upper hall. That's it. What are you thinking? All right, so I'd love your feedback. You got ideas, thoughts? come and share it. So that's what we're trying to do. It's looking like we won't start building now until the end of next year, which is, you know, just so slow, this process. But that's our goal, to build a space which actually works for our community and doesn't work against it. And our target, in order to achieve that, what we need to do next year is we need to raise $1 million from our people in our church. And what that looks like is we're going to be asking people to give a 3-year pledge of something like 1 to 3 times what they're giving annually. Right, so if you're giving $5,000 to church annually, we'll be asking for somewhere between $5,000 and $15,000 as a commitment to the building process. And so that's massive. And a lot of my planning's going into how do we ask, how do we communicate why we need to do this, and then how do we communicate in a gracious way the opportunity to give to that. So that's coming up. We've delayed it to next year because we just haven't felt like we've got enough plan to be able to do it in term 4 this year. So next year, we're going to have that's coming up. All right, second focus area for 2019 is this uni students. And some of you are like, what? I hate uni students. Sorry, Josh. Are you still a uni student? Any other uni students here? Sean, kind of. Anyway, but this is why we need to do it. Here's the city of Sydney. Age groups, and as you can see, in the city of Sydney, the age group 20 to 29 is the largest age group, and so a reason why we planted in Surry Hills, Liz and I, we saw that between the age of 18 to 35, Christian churches were terrible at both reaching people and keeping people, and we were losing people to the city. And we wanted to start a church for that age group. You look at Australian church attendance, and Australian church attendance does better than generally the population, if that makes sense. So the church has got more 15 to 19-year-olds than a percentage of... Does that make sense? We're totally unrepresented, our... Australian churches in the 20 to 29 age group, and that's a reason why we planted. And similarly in the 30 to 39 age group, and after you hit 40, we you know, that makes up for much higher proportion of churches. So that makes sense. So churches, Australian churches, we're good at the upper end, we're terrible at the lower end, and that's why Liz and I planted Vine Church, because we saw this and we're like, what the heck? Now, where does Vine Church fit? Got very few 15 to 19-year-olds. We've got a lot of 20 to 29-year-olds. And I just want to say what a miracle that is, right? Compared, a church like ours shouldn't exist in our country. That's what that stat's showing, that the stats show churches don't reach this age group and we're filled with them. And then you look at 30 to 39, 40, 49, 50, 59, 60, 69, 70, 79, and no 80-year-olds, okay? So we are really good at reaching 30, 39-year-olds. We're all right at reaching, I think, 25 to 29-year-olds, and we are hopeless at reaching 15 to 25-year-olds. And what that means is Bruce has come on as our family's pastor, and he's having to tap a lot of you guys to come and do Sunday morning kids ministry and then come along to church on Sunday afternoon, which I think is awesome. And even if you've got a full-time job, don't waste your life. Come and do that, right? But it is hard, and we're wanting to start a midweek kids group. And ideally, we'd have leaders doing Friday night kids group and then coming back on Sunday morning with those same kids and establishing them in the faith. And really, the only people that have time to do that are 15 to 25-year-olds, university students and upper high school students. And we have none. And what that's meaning is we can't grow our youth ministry, which means we're not going to be able to reach the 40-year-olds with families. We're underrepresented there, and we're missing out on raising the next generation of kids. So that's why. Oh, here's another one: marital status. You can look at this one. You look at Australia is the yellow, lots of people married, and then this is the church. Church is overrepresented with widows, underrepresented with separated and divorced, underrepresented in never married, and overrepresented with marriage. But you look at Vine Church, and we're overrepresented with never married. All right, so what's our focus areas to reach and grow a community of uni students? And our target next year is to start a 7 p.m. service with university students. We're not going to do that until we've gathered 50 people ready to start a 7 p.m. service. So what we're trying to do next year is actually to gather, to bring in the university students, to create a bit more of a focused community among them, and then with the plan of then going out and planting a 7 p.m. gathering, which is kind of targeted at university students. And that's our hope, that's our prayer, that's our focus for next year. And the final one is to develop and support leaders and teams so they're more effective in making and growing disciples. If you look at our organizational chart, you'll see my name and the staff's name popping up in a whole bunch of areas. And we're doing too much. We've got a lot of leaders. Our church, we actually have a lot of leaders, but we haven't been very good at lifting those leaders up into more significant leader of leader roles. And so, for instance, we've got welcoming team leaders, and I think Al is the only area leader, the leader of leaders. You know, she's leader of leaders in morning church welcoming team. So she has Tiff, Todd, and yourself under you, and she's leading leaders at that point. And we need more of that happening, that it's not just staff leading leaders, but it's you guys stepping up and saying, you know what, I'll take an area, I'll be responsible for that area, and I'll make it happen. And we need more of that happening. But we need to support you, we need to develop you to make sure that's happening. As Ben's already shared, what does a servant leader look like? Their character, they're like Christ, their convictions, they're driven by the things that drive God, and they are competent. And then we want performing teams, and that isn't kind of just some godless, business talk, but Becky's been showing us over the last year, what does a performing team look like? It looks like the penguins of Madagascar. They have a purpose, they're clear on what their purpose is, they're equipped, they know how to do it, they're relational, they work as a family together, they have fun together, they're organized, they review what they're doing regularly, and they're going, what's working, what isn't working, how can we improve this? And they're motivated by God's word. So that's an acronym which, we're trying to drill into your team. What's lacking in your team? Does your team know why it exists, how it connects to the disciple-making process? Are they equipped? Is it relational, or do you just rock up to do the task? Are you having fun outside of serving and in the serving? Are you organized? Do you review what's working, what isn't? And are you motivated by God's word? So that's development support. And our target is that 80% of you guys would feel confident that you are leading a performing team. Make sense? There's our focus areas for 2019. Build a place which actually does community well for us. Reach and grow community uni students, and then to develop and support you guys. Why? So that people would cross from death to life, that they'd become disciples, and that they would be growing disciples. And we need leadership in each one of the areas along that pathway, that you'd be receiving people, growing them, and moving them on to maturity in Christ.